welcome, peoples of the interwebs. Tis I, Christy.
And me, Kelly.
And you're back joining us once again at Unnerved, a horror movie podcast.
Yeah, welcome back. Welcome to 2024.
Jeez.
Well, we've been doing this since 2020 now?
Yeah. We've been at it a little while.
Yep. We've been doing good.
Yeah, I'd say so.
So, this week...
But if you're new here...
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Starting of 2024, not good. Not good. But yes, if you're new here, welcome. Christy and I watch a horror movie every other week, and then we like to talk about it.
Yeah. So we're going to cover Nope.
Yeah.
Which was what we've been saying that we're going to cover for the past several weeks, and yes. We just haven't been able to, and now we're able to.
Yeah, so Nope from 2022, very recent.
Yeah.
Jordan Peele's movies.
Yeah, so after this, we are all called up on the Jordan Peele...
universe?
Yeah.
I guess that makes sense. At least the horror universe.
Yeah.
He's like a comedian, but does he make
I don't think
movies?
He directs a whole lot of other stuff, but yeah, he's primarily in the comedy biz, except for horror movies.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So.
All right. Cast.
Yeah, hit us with the cast, Kiwi. Okay.
Daniel Kaluuya is OJ, or Otis Hayward Jr., the son of the Otis Hayward Sr., and then he's the brother of Emerald, who's M, who's played by Kiki Palmer, which was such a delight to see in this.
I love Kiki Palmer.
I can't remember which, like, Nickelodeon or Disney Channel show she was on, but, like, I grew up knowing Kiki Palmer's name. Do you remember?
She was in The Spelling Bee.
Okay.
That was something that we watched a lot in middle school.
Whenever there was a sub, you're going to watch that movie.
But, yes. Yeah, she was in a couple Nickelodeon shows.
Yeah, I remember growing up with her name around. I'm sure I've probably watched episodes with her in it.
Yeah.
I just can't place right off the top of my head. Steven Yeun is Ricky Jupe.
We love him.
Park, also known as Glenn on The Walking Dead, so.
And Keith from Voltron.
Yeah, so we love him. He's really God. Yeah.
Yeah.
We pretty much both stopped watching The Walking Dead after, not really spoilers, after his character dies.
Yeah.
If you don't know, you've just managed to miss that entire part of the, like, basically.
If you managed to be spoiler free into this point, congrats, but
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Then Michael Wincott is Antlers Holst. He's the cinematographer guy that's kind of like, he's got the best freaking voice, though. I love his voice. It is so deep and rich. I could just listen to it all day. Then Brandon Perea is Angel Torres. He's the salesman. And then we can keep going, but I don't think it really matters past that. And of course, this is directed and written by Jordan Peele.
Yeah. So, kicking off this movie, diving right on into it. We're in California.
Mm-hmm.
And we are on a ranch. Now, this ranch, it belongs to the Hayward family, and they primarily train horses for, like, movie gigs.
Yeah. They're cinematography horses.
Yes. So they are very good at training certain animals to do and react well in front of a camera or with other people to be performed safely.
And to do tricks and things that a normal horse wouldn't be able to do without extensive training.
Right. So, we see Daddy Hayward and good old OJ out training one of the horses. I want to say Ghost.
Yep, it's Ghost.
And then there's, like, hail happening, but it's not really hail. It's junk.
It's junk, and it's very off-putting because they're in the middle of nowhere. They're out in the desert in LA County.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of cloudy out, but a sunny day. Otherwise, it's not raining.
Yep.
There's no... I don't remember there being any noise, really.
Nope.
So, yeah.
So, change and keys and various small metal objects start falling from the sky.
Yes.
And a nickel gets lodged through Daddy Hayward's eyeball, like a coin slot, into his good old brain time.
Mm-hmm.
And OJ tries everything he can, but his father inevitably dies at the hospital.
Yes.
And he gets to keep the nickel as a souvenir.
And he does. He pins it above his bed when he sleeps.
Fun fact, it's dated in 1976, 79? Wait, whatever year Jordan Peele was born. It's the same
79.
Year. Yeah. I'm like, it's somewhere in my fun facts, but we were talking about
the nickel.
I had it somewhere written, But yeah. So fun fact, it's the year Jordan Peele was born.
So anyway, Dad's dead.
6 months later. OJ is working on setting up a horse for a commercial shoot. The horse's name is Lucky.
Yeah.
And he is, because he survives this whole film.
Yeah, somehow. Somehow unscathed.
Because he's lucky!
He's very lucky.
M shows up late, and but she gives the whole safety spiel, and the history of, like, the first horse moving picture.
Yeah.
And how it was her great-great ancestor on top of that horse, and how it's been kind of a legend in their family and everything like that, that they were made to be in film with horses.
She's the charisma of the duo. He's the brawn.
Yeah, he's very introverted, and he just does not want to deal with people.
Yeah, he's very much into, like, the horse and the horse's safety, and she's very much in, like, that's my side gig, but really I'm trying to act and be a star.
Yeah.
And that shows. And she's also late to the shoot, so he's very uncomfortable for, like, the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, so they clearly don't pay that close attention to all the safety and the warnings that he's giving, the warnings that she gave, and they spook the horse. Lucky kicks a bucket. He doesn't kick the bucket. He kicks something behind him.
He kicks something behind him. No one gets hurt, but people get scared.
Yes, and so they get fired from the gig, and they bring in a CGI horse instead.
Yep.
Also, we had a clip also of Gordy, the Gordy sitcom, which is a chimpanzee that heard a balloon pop and got startled so bad he went on a bit of a rampage, killing two people on set and eating someone's face.
Ape shit, if you will.
Yes, he went ape shit. And that's also kind of in reference to, like, the chimp that wigged out on his owner's friend and ate her face.
Yeah.
So it's kind of in reference to that, but it's also showing that animals are sensitive to certain things, and you have to train them properly and have safety precautions, and, like, certain things will trigger an animal to react.
The safety of the animal and therefore the people around them, and, like, not, like, thinking you're besting an animal or, like, you know, it's kind of...
It's how you communicate with that animal.
So, poor Gordy. Gordy, we do find out he was murdered for doing this.
Yeah.
But it's honestly probably, for me, the most, like, the Gordy scenes are the most chilling scenes in the movie.
Yeah, I could see that. We get all this kind of rundown from our good time over at a Jupiter Claim.
Yeah, which we meet after the incident at the shoot.
Yeah, Ricky is trying to buy the ranch from the Haywards.
Yes.
And he also was the child star that survived the Gordy incident, and he's got all the memorabilia.
Yeah, he's got a kind of shrine to it.
He's got a weird obsession slash undealt trauma. Like, he seems fascinated, but at the same time, like, that was fucked up. He's got a weird duology with the scene that he witnessed.
He's never dealt with it, but I think in a way he looks at it and thinks that he was probably, like, spared, or he bested nature for a reason almost. It feels very weird.
I don't see the bested of nature. I don't see that.
I think it's more like he had a different connection with Gordy, and that's why Gordy spared him.
Yeah, because Gordy calmed down when he found...
Yes. And I think Gordy just had a cool-down period and was okay. Like, I don't think it had anything to do with Jupe. I think it was just...
No, he got startled.
Yeah.
And the adults tried to get in the animal's way. Ricky hid under a table. Once the monkey calmed down, he saw a familiar face and was reaching out.
And I don't... But I just don't think Jupe understood it that way. I think...
I don't see him viewing it as I bested nature.
That's maybe not the right way to say it. I'm trying to say that, like, he had a better connection with the monkey, that he was spared because...
I think he's just fascinated by the whole situation.
Well, I don't know, because he's weird later on with the alien, and I feel like
he's got a fascination. I don't think he can control it.
I think he thinks he's got some kind of one-up on it.
I think he's just overly fascinated by the idea of connecting to it. Okay. Not controlling it, but having a connection to it.
And I definitely think I think in some ways he thinks that he is, like, almost immune to the ways that animals are supposed to be handled.
That I could see.
That's what I guess I'm trying to say.
Okay. But the Hayward duo go back home.
Oh, not before he sells Lucky, though, right? He sells Jupe Lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he's not selling the ranch, but he has been selling Jupe horses at a time.
Yeah, but Ricky, or Jupe, does want the ranch. Yes. And has been making offers for it.
Mm-hmm.
So they go home, the duo, and they have some liquor. They check on Ghost, which for some reason is out of their stall.
Yep.
And then they have some weird electrical difficulties. Mm-hmm. Power goes out, Ghost gets spooked and runs off, mm-hmm. and it's a whole thing. And they narrow down the possibilities that it is a UFO situation.
Yeah.
I know they're called something different, but they're going to be called UFOs this entire episode.
UFOs.
UFO time. So they're like, okay, well, we got to get cameras. We got to get cameras, we got to get a decoy, and we got to catch this on film for money.
Yep.
So they go get cameras, and they meet Angel. Yep. Angel's great. Angel comes out to set up the cameras.
Yeah, he does.
While he comes out and sets up the cameras, M goes out and steals the horse decoy from Jupiter's claim.
Yep.
And they set it up in the field with also, like, a kite ribbon.
Yep.
So that
I think
they
very can... carnival-like.
Yeah. Because mm-hmm. Jupiter's claim is very much a
Western little... amusement park.
Yeah. A little rodeo,
yeah,
almost.
Yeah, a little roadside attraction sort
yes.
of thing. Yeah.
They have, like, it's important because there's, like, a well that if you look down and you crank the thing, it takes a picture of you looking down the well.
Mm-hmm.
So, that well becomes important later on.
Mm-hmm.
So, Angel gets now fascinated with what they're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he is keeping tabs on the cameras back at the office.
Yep.
And they are hearing noises, the horses
experiencing more power outage weirdness. Yep.
The Jupe's kids go and prank them.
This is actually creepy, though. Like, the way the kids were moving in the barn with the horses looks very unnatural.
And these alien costumes are a part of, like, a little alien show
mm-hmm.
at Jupiter's claim for their dad. So these kids are used to acting like that.
And then OJ decks one of them. Because
mm-hmm.
he gets scared.
Yeah. And there's also a praying mantis on top of one of the other cameras yep. blocking the view.
So they can't see anything.
So it's
paid
all...
actor by the UFO.
Yeah. And Angel comes out and he's just like he's moving the camera to try and get the
yep.
mantis off. He's like, get off the camera.
M ends up throwing like rocks at it to try and like get the thing to come off and it doesn't work.
Yeah. Sour Patch Kids.
Thank you. Yep.
Trying
to do something.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, they didn't catch really anything.
Right. But they, it kind of, well, OJ's
like.
It
took
like,
the decoy.
Yeah. Yeah, because something does happen after the kids leave, right?
Yeah. The decoy gets sucked up.
So they see it. They see it.
Yeah, but the cameras weren't focused because, and also they were electrical, so they turned off. Jupe also had come by earlier to announce that he has a new night show.
Come and stop on by.
Yeah. So after all that happens, we do get the live show.
At what point do they call Antlers?
They call the director dude after Jupiter's. Well, they call him and he turns them down.
Yeah.
And then after Jupiter's show,
he shows up.
He comes.
Okay.
They call him again, explain the situation in more mm-hmm. urgency, mm-hmm. and then he comes out. So Jupiter show happens, he announces, he's luring the UFO out.
With the horsey. Lucky.
With Lucky. Lucky's fine. Lucky will be fine. We have already established that Lucky survives this
and
entire thing because he's
lucky. And simultaneously, OJ is driving to Jupiter's claim to go and get Lucky back.
Right. And so he's a little late to the party because at Jupe's show, the UFO does come and take everybody up and om-noms it. Because the UFO is actually the alien monster, mm-hmm. not a spacecraft.
Right. It's eating them all. Nom-noms.
The inspiration for it were the angels from Neon Genesis Evangelion. I know! I was just like, yas!
I was telling Matt about that, and he's like, why would you admit that was your inspiration? I'm like, dude, it's a classic. Like, how would you not? That's pretty well known.
Yeah, and, like, say what you want about Neon Genesis. Yes, it is very confusing at the end. There's a lot of continuity issues. I understand that, but it's a really fucking cool anime when you look at, like, the aesthetic and, like, the concept. And the angels are pretty fucking cool.
They are cool. I don't like Neon Genesis Evangelion.
I understand that.
But it's because of the ending. I can appreciate that up until, like, the last couple episodes, it is a really good anime.
Right. And to be fair, they retcon that ending in so many different ways in different movies.
It's just strange. Shinji?
Yeah, Shinji.
He's a little bit of a butt sometimes.
He's a baby.
But Asta, right? That's her name? I like her. It's been a while since I've seen
her. We love Asta.
She's kind of a badass bitch. I'm just saying.
Yeah, boss bitch. Mm-hmm. Girl boss, gatekeep.
Yeah.
Gaslight. That is Asta. But, yes, he's there too late. Everybody gets sucked up. He sees the UFO. Mm-hmm. He makes eye contact with the UFO. Mm-hmm. But he knocks himself out, and that saves him. And then he realizes on his ride home with Lucky that you don't look it in the eyes.
Just like Lucky got scared at the commercial shoot for being right. looked at in the eyes.
So it tracks and gets triggered by eye contact. Mm-hmm. So they found something new. Something that they can try and survive.
Now, on his way back to the ranch, he's got Lucky in tow. He tries calling M, but this thing is on the move.
His car breaks down. Mm-hmm. The Angel's car is broken down at the Hayward house, and the Hayward house goes down. And one of the coolest moments in this whole movie, in my opinion.
Agree.
The UFO comes and sets a bloody downpour.
Right over the house. Just over, like, in the perimeter
it's
of
so
the house.
So good.
And it's dropping body parts. It's dropping things it what didn't want to eat. It's dropping a blood rain. It's so
It dropped cool. the decoy that got stuck in its throat.
Right on top of OJ's car, right?
Yep. He also, like, is about to leave the car, looks up, closes the door. He's like, nope.
It's so good. I love his acting, too. I just think he's a phenomenal actor. I love this scene, and this is where the movie started to pick up for me, and then it falls flat.
I agree.
I thought if we had explored more of this style, would have liked it more.
We're definitely more of the lean more towards the horror than the sci-fi, so when everything goes more sci-fi,
you lose us.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very much like Annihilation, like the bear in Annihilation. Spooky.
Yeah, it was very spooky.
Like, let's go with the whole monster idea and that the monsters are going to go out.
But then
not this
artsy.
Not this weird art metaphor, like, duology of, like, evolution and shit like that. No.
Starring Natalie Portman, the worst actress ever.
Ugh. Oh my gosh, at New Year's. Okay, sidetrack. New Year's, we had a whole debate about Natalie Portman and you missed it.
What?
So, we were playing a game called Wavelength.
Okay.
And the other team was trying to guess where Natalie Portman would have landed on a scale.
Oh, gosh.
And they
what
were like...
What scale are we talking about?
I don't remember if it was underrated or overrated actor.
Overrated.
And my brother said Natalie Portman. Now, Justin understands our plight.
Yeah.
And was like, okay, are you thinking like your sister? Or are you thinking like a guy because she can be attractive?
Yeah.
So they were having this whole debate. I'm like... Just because she's attractive doesn't mean she's got talent. And I was going,
oh. Yeah, dude. I was going agree. Off
with, like, a glass of wine. I'm like, just because. Because
she is very beautiful.
She is conventionally attractive.
But.
She does not make me question my sexuality, but she's conventionally attractive.
I can appreciate. I'm not blind. But I hate her acting. I think she lacks chemistry with everyone she works with.
She's so wooden.
Yeah. Yeah.
Blah.
She could maybe do, like, a very specific character part. She could maybe play, like, a psychopath killer really well.
Literally the only movie that I'm okay with her being in was Star Wars.
I hated her in Star Wars.
But compared to the first Thor movie and Black Swan and Annihilation, that's the best one out of the four that I can think of off the top of my head.
I don't think I've seen any other Natalie Portman movies, to be honest. She's overrated, though.
There were a lot of other things wrong with the originals, like, the first yeah. three yeah, episodes.
Yeah, there are.
So, I can't really contribute that all to Natalie Portman. She was okay in that.
Some of it is...
She didn't help and she didn't hinder that.
Yeah, I would say some of that is also who she was supposed to be. You know, the role. Not her. Either way, don't like her.
Oh, no, I'm not vouching.
I'm not defending her.
No, no, absolutely not. I'm just saying, out of everything I can think of, that's the best one she's been in, and it's not saying much.
But to go back to Nope.
Yeah, back to Nope. I just thought it would be entertaining to see your face.
I like it. I like it. Thank you for the tidbit. Girl, me and you would have been going off.
Oh, I was going off. I'm like, just because she's attractive doesn't mean she got talent. Why you got, and you're like, but she's hot. I'm like, whatever. Fuck you guys.
You're not wrong, but you are wrong.
So, yes, they call the director guy. He comes out and they make a plan. And he's got an electric free wind-up camera.
Old school.
Old school. So they set up a big trap, essentially a big set. And they have blow-up inflatable dolls going off so that they can monitor where the electrical field is at a given point on the ranch. So they're going to capture this UFO on film.
Yeah, that's the whole idea, is that they're going to prove the existence of the UFO. And Angel's still there. He's, like, now a permanent resident here.
Yeah. A TMZ guy shows up.
Because the Jupiter's claim, right?
Yep. Yeah,
that, I mean, incident. Obviously that incident is going to be like, where did all these people disappear to?
Right, and he immediately jumped to the UFO. So he's trying to do sightings, and he's like, yes. Well, like, you're his neighbor. What are you doing out exactly. here with all these cameras?
Yeah.
So, but he doesn't listen to the warnings that Keke Palmer gives.
And his bike hits the electrical field.
And it's the funniest thing, because even Angel was just like, what's going to happen when you're on a motorcycle going 60 miles an hour and you hit an electrical field that turns off all your power? And he stops, and it flings him across the gravel, and you just hear, eh!
Yeah, and it just one thud, and then he just lays there and moans.
And all of them are like, you idiot.
So, OJ ends up, OJ's on the unlucky at this point. He's got lucky, he's got a little mask on, it's so cute.
Yep, just to kind of help with his peripheral to block out any unnecessary distractions.
They did steal a bunch of, inflatable tube men to help figure out where the electrical field was happening, all that stuff. So, OJ does walk over to this guy, because he has thrown a wrench into the entire plan of how this is supposed to work. And he does originally try to pick him up and, like, save him and get him on the horse, but the guy is so concerned with getting the shot.
Right.
That he's basically unhelpable. Like, they can't help him.
So, he leaves him there, and he gets sucked up in the UFO.
Yep.
And then they get back on course with getting a shot. So, they think they got the shot.
Yes.
And then the UFO comes back. Mm-hmm. Director guy's like, I'm gonna get another angle. But he gets sucked
up. It's the golden hour. Ruins the whole plan.
Yeah. He gets sucked up into the UFO with his camera. And then the camera gets expelled, but it breaks.
Oh, they lose all of that footage.
So, they lose everything. Angel almost gets sucked up, but he very smartly tangles himself up in a inflatable tube man and then also barbed wire, and it keeps him grounded enough to survive getting sucked up.
Apparently, in early drafts of the script and stuff, his character wasn't supposed to live. Like, he had to, like, convince the director to actually let his character live. And I'm glad they do, because yeah. I really do like Angel.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be a little bit of the comic relief. I do think OJ is a little bit as well. And so is M. Actually, they all kind of are.
Yeah. Angel gets adopted into the family.
Yes, very much.
So OJ and M are like, okay, well, we have a new plan. They're gonna go separate ways, and they're gonna chase it to Jupiter's claim.
Mm-hmm.
And Kiki Palmer gets the shot with the well.
Yes. And she rides the bike. So she takes the bike from the TMZ guy and drives it over to Jupiter's claim.
Right. And in order to get it right above the well, she releases the giant balloon.
Of Jupe.
And it gets sucked into the UFO. She gets the shot, and then because the balloon is stuck in its windpipe, mm-hmm. it bursts and the it UFO and it kills it. So mm-hmm. two for one. We got the shot and we got rid of the problem.
And OJ, M, and Angel survive.
Yes. And that's pretty much the movie.
Mm-hmm. We actually went through that pretty quick.
Yeah. It's a long movie, but, like, it's also like, okay, it's this slow. Happened, then this happened, then this
it's
happened.
Slow.
This happened. There's a lot of detail.
Yes.
It's a lot of detail work. Our kill count is 56.
I mean, yeah.
A lot horses and die. People and UFO included.
Okay.
So, you want to do fun facts first? Let's do some
sure.
fun facts.
So, a lot, I was, you know, we had kind of talked before I went and did research for this movie, but Jordan Peele's movies always have a theme or an underlying current, right? Mm-hmm. And we kind of were very much, like, on the boat of, like, animal training and respect of animals and stuff like that. Apparently, a lot of people were like, this is about spectacle and exploitation, which I think the training part goes with exploitation really well.
Yeah.
We just didn't really talk much about spectacle when we were watching it through.
Spectacle, I can see definitely, especially with the fact that it was released right after the pandemic.
Yes.
Or actually, like, right at the tail end.
Yeah.
We're still kind of dealing with COVID, to be honest. But it was like, cinema was decreasing in popularity because people could not go out.
Yeah.
And because now we were nearing the end, it was something that it would really entice people to go back to the movies mm-hmm. and have to see it in theaters.
Yes. And their marketing is phenomenal.
Absolutely.
I remember this coming out. Like, I remember seeing commercials for this and being excited about it.
Yes.
I mean, first of all, I love the Jordan Peele movies, so that was like a kicker in and of itself. But it was really well marketed. But spectacle, exploitation, and then they talk a little bit about bad miracles in the film. So in the whole Gordy situation, there's a shoe that's like standing perfectly upright mm-hmm. when it looks weird, it looks out of place, and it is. And it's an example of like bad miracles and then using those as a way to like further, I don't know, further your own gains and stuff like that.
Yeah. Okay. So there's a pair of metal scissors on the desk in Steven's character's office
mm-hmm.
That's reminiscent of Us,
yep.
another Jordan Peele film. There's a lot of, like, references to Us more than Get Out in this, because Us had a lot of references to Get Out, so now this one is having a lot of references to Us.
Yep. Oh, we didn't mention this, but the alien's name is, they name him Jean Jacket.
Yes.
I forgot about that.
It's named after the horse that Kiki Palmer's character was supposed to tame. So now, like, this is her moment to tame
this beast.
This animal.
Yep. So in addition to Neon Genesis Evangelion, Peele also cites King Kong, Jurassic Park, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Signs, and The Wizard of Oz as inspirations for this movie.
Yep. Jordan Peele originally wrote Angel to be more of a happy-go-lucky geek-like character, but once they saw Brandon for casting, they kind of revamped his character to be how it is portrayed. To be more grounded.
In addition to the Neon Genesis Evangelion stuff, the alien was also kind of mixed in with, like, a jellyfish, octopus, squid look, which it flows very water-like.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of the, like, its abilities to generate electric fields or hide in the clouds is taken from electric eels and ghost knife fish. I will say, don't love the CGI of the alien.
This is one of those issues where I have issues with CGI. I mean, realistically, there's no other way you can fucking do this movie.
No, you can't do this any other way.
You can't do it practically. It would be even worse and look very cheap practically. Mm-hmm. But CGI just...
It looks a little weird.
It doesn't do it for me. You know?
Tell me about it.
I mean, these actors are very good at reacting to something that isn't there. Mm-hmm. Okay, but I prefer maybe having something that they can react to a little bit better to, like, really sync that up. Because, like, we have great moments in cinema where, like, an Alien, where the chess pieces are seen, none of them knew it was coming. It was practical, and it scared the shit out of all of them.
Yep.
So, like, you can't replicate an authentic reaction mm-hmm. to... reacting to something that's not there. Granted, Kiki Palmer and this whole cast does a very, very good, all of them have to do a very good job of responding to something that's not there.
It's, for me, it's
but it's
just
the CGI look doesn't fully match the aesthetic of the rest of the movie to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that. Especially when the alien reaches its quote-unquote, like, biblical form where it's very, like, very big.
It looks like a kite.
Yeah. But it doesn't move like one. Like, and I know it's alien, so it's supposed to look different, but it doesn't obey the same laws of physics and light and stuff that I would expect from something that...
Also, the mouth area in that last form is just weird. It, like, the pulsing green
that
thing?
That looks computerized.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a computer screensaver.
Yeah, it kind of does.
I would prefer the pipes, but, you know, that's just me.
For some, I don't know. And again, that could be, you could argue that that is literally, well, it's an alien. It's not supposed to look normal. It's supposed to be uncanny. But it's got, like, a quality to it that makes it look like it's been generated by a computer, to me.
I can understand that. I guess I don't have that big of a problem with it because it is sci-fi and it's just not my shtick.
Yep.
But, So, Emerald and OJ respectively wore essentially their colors of green and orange
yep.
throughout most of the movie.
So, the very, very early clip of the jockey on the horse that they show, it's a real clip.
Mm-hmm.
It's from 1878. It's an animated series of photographs. One of the first moving images ever, which has come to be called Sally Gardner at a Gallop. Sally Gardner is the name of the horse, though, and there were two jockeys that were listed by the names of C. Marvin and G. Dom. Neither of them are actually truly known. We don't actually know, but it's very possible that they could have been black, and most jockeys in that time frame were actually black.
So, the amusement park, Jupiter's Claim, is now a permanent part of the Universal Studios in Hollywood for a backlot tour, and also was converted to a haunted house maze for their Halloween Horror Nights in 2022.
So fun.
We gotta go sometime. I know it's fucking pricey. I understand
you know what?
Dropping that kind of cash, but at the same time, we gotta go once.
I wanna go, but I think I'd rather do San Diego Comic-Con first.
Okay.
And then do a Hollywood Horror Nights.
Well, Hollywood Horror Nights you have to do with me. I refuse
to
do that with anyone else.
Who else would I go with?
I don't know, but you're not allowed to go with anyone but me. I am putting my foot down on that one.
Okay, we can look at that. Not this year. But
nope. It's not this year.
It's not going to happen this year.
Nope.
But someday we will. The big store that Angel works in was actually a closed down Fry's Electronics, or going to be closed down. They went out of business in the middle of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an actual, like, electronics store that they used.
The ID on his truck, which, has FE1111, so FE for Fry's Electronics, but also the 1111 is in reference to Jeremiah 1111 that we saw in Us. Boom. More Us references.
Drop. Us was... So it was Get Out first, right?
Then Get Out, Us. Nope.
When Steven Yeun's character says that in 1 hour you will leave here having witnessed a spectacle that's actually exactly 1 hour from the end of the movie.
Yup.
So nice. It's so nice.
I love little details like that. It makes me happy. It makes up for the CGI. After the release of the film's trailer and the Super Bowl commercial, viewers were already thinking that it was an alien invasion story and thinking that Nope was an acronym, for not of planet Earth.
Yes.
And that was before Alien was even, like,
fully explicitly said that.
Right.
Yeah. So, I'm getting where I was kind of saying stuff earlier about Joop and Gordy the chimpanzee. Basically, there's stuff in here that Jordan Peele didn't really explain the significance of the attack, but there's people that think that basically Joop's survival of the chimpanzee attack gave him the mistaken impression he could tame an alpha predator, which he fucks up with the alien. So, I mean, it's kind of there.
I personally don't see it that way. But that was my interpretation of a movie.
It's really hard because we don't get enough of his character to say for sure.
Right.
He's a side note in this story.
Yeah.
He's a parallel, basically.
That's pretty much all the fun facts that I really wanted to touch on.
There is a biblical quote at the beginning of this from the Old Testament. It's just basically along the themes of what this movie is.
A lot of his movies have a quote from the Bible and ties into the themes.
Yep.
Anything else?
Not really.
Hit me with some taglines.
We got two. One is just a new terror from the mind of Academy Award winner Jordan Peele. Sure. And the other one is the residents of a lonely gulch in inland California bear witness to an uncanny and chilling discovery. I have a feeling they didn't do taglines as much because they kept what this movie was really about kind of under wraps.
Right.
Do you have any reviews?
I do. I have two. I have a 4.5 star that says, giant gaping butthole in the sky eats Californians.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty accurate.
And then a 2.5 star, and it just says, scaly monkey.
Monkey.
I had to say scaly because it doesn't have R's. Written. It has a W.
It does. I'm scared of chimpanzees. I am.
So let's grade this shit.
So Christy and I have 5 questions that we grade on a scale of 1 to 10 for a possible score of 50 each, 100 total.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready?
First question. In our opinion, was this a good horror movie?
6. It had a lot of potential, and it's really scary up until about, it gets really good up until about the last 45 minutes, and then it loses me.
I'm just not a sci-fi person.
The ending feels more like an action movie.
Yeah.
Than a horror movie to me.
Yeah. To me, the only horrific part was Gordy, and also the blood raining on the house. Those are the only two things that speak to me as horror.
The kids showing up in the alien costumes and moving weirdly was a little creepy, too. For me.
For you.
For me.
I mean, Gordy didn't bother me either, but those are the only two, like, major horror themes that were part of the horror.
Gordy is a CGI monkey, which is fine. I'm totally okay with that.
And he looked okay.
He looked all right. You could tell he was CGI, too, though. I could. He looked a little weird.
I mean, we're also looking...
We're looking for it.
Deep.
Yes.
Yeah. If I, like, when I first watched this...
When he was up close, I should preface that. Yeah. Only when he was up close.
When I watched this by myself and I wasn't analyzing it for our show, it didn't bother me.
It's an enjoyable movie.
Yeah. I was talking about the CGI monkey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
CGI monkey.
Acting.
9.
10.
Yeah, it's good.
No one bothered me. Mm-hmm. Everyone's great. Special effects?
6.
I gave it a 9 still because it was very ambitious.
It was.
And the bloody house is great. And the fact that, like, it didn't get washed away to make it look nice again. It kept the blood stains.
That was nice. That was a good touch.
So it kept the gritty feel. Compelling story, interesting twists.
6.
7.
It's nothing new.
It's not that compelling. But then again, it's not my genre.
I just think we've seen this before.
Yeah. I mean,
a different skin, especially a different
with the twist. There's no real twist.
No, there's not.
It's pretty straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
Character development and writing?
8.
7.
Yeah.
It's well written. So I'm a 39.
And I'm a 35.
Which puts us at 74, and we're putting it in between Frankenstein from 1931 and Evil Dead 2 from
1987. Yep.
So, we got a new theme from my roommate.
We do!
And we're going to be covering some doppelganger-esque movies.
Which, so excited.
So this could be, like, an actual supernatural doppelganger. It could be someone posing, like, something where someone looks like the clone of another person.
Yes. So.
We're going to cover Kelly's pick first.
Yeah, so we're doing literally the movie Doppelganger from 1993.
Yes. So, yeah, we're hitting.
Have you seen it?
No.
And neither have I. Okay, so this is a total pick in the dark.
Both of our picks are total shots in the dark.
Mm-hmm. So hopefully they're good.
Yeah. So obviously we're not doing Us because we've already covered Us.
Yes, we have. It'd be a good pick, though. Us would be a really good pick.
It would be a good pick. But not anymore because we already did it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have any idea of any other themes, let us know. We'll give you the whole rundown in a minute, but it's 2024. The only thing that we have really on the docket that we have planned is already our 100th episode. Yes. So we need ideas.
Yeah, feel free to shoot them at us.
Oh, yeah. So, anything else you want to hit on for Nope?
No. It's good. I know, like, we've kind of...
What's your Jordan Peele...
Lineup. Get up.
Top to...
Get up.
Get up! top to bottom.
Get out us. Nope.
I agree wholeheartedly. Alright, so if you like our artwork as much as we do...
Go check out my sister Danny at Danny Draws Dragons over on Instagram. Or listen to our episode on Annihilation, which we did talk about this episode. Another sci-fi movie. She guest hosts with us.
Yes. Also, if you want to see anything spooky that I do, I know spooky season is over. Wham.
Never over.
A big wham. I also still post some spooky stuff over on my Instagram at Lilith_Hilltopple. If you want to give us any of those themes, movie ideas, reviews, anything, just reach out to us, let us know how we're doing. Mm-hmm. You can join in the conversation on Facebook at Unnerved, a Horror Movie Podcast, or on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, at A Unnerved. You can DM us on over there because we get just tagged in random stuff. It's mm-hmm. just easier to contact us via DM on Twitter.
Yep. Hell yeah. Welcome to 2024.
We're back, baby. And in 2 weeks, we're going to be covering
Doppelganger.
So stay safe. Stay spooky. We'll see you guys next time. Bye. Bye.